right over here needs one. If you get a chance over there, and the guy right down here, appreciate it. You can sit in church 50 years and never understand the chronological, historical line of the Scripture. And it's important that you do that because God set it forth, and it also helps you to be able to write. I don't know how anybody can rightly divide the Bible without understanding somewhat of the chronological order of historical events. So if you're on that right now, let's just run through it real quick, and then we're going to go to a few Scriptures. Now, I'm going to, this will be different today. I've kind of went back and forth, and I had a brother call me last night, and I told him, I said, Brother Messick called. He said to tell y'all hello. They're just losing 8 inches of snow up here where he's at. But anyway, he said to tell everybody hello. I want to welcome everybody, all the visitors and regulars and everybody else. Glad you're here. We've got a lot of folks on the road and traveling. Pray for them. Let's go through this right now. Now, the first thing, and by the way, scratch out the word past, number one, because there's no such thing as eternity past. Eternity is just eternity. But anyway, to get an idea of Scripture and of time, you start with eternity. And then second of all, here's creation. That's the beginning of time. And when the Bible says in the beginning, God is talking about the beginning of time. And you have that in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. And then you have what's called the fall. Now, let me tell you something. If you don't understand the fall, you will not understand why disease, death, sickness, sorrow, tragedy, pain, misery, everything that you hate in life, you won't understand why it happens. And the devil will tell you, how can a good God allow all these terrible things to happen? You've got to understand the fall is critical to understand, nobody's educated that doesn't understand the fall. And then with that fall came the curse. How many's ever been bit by a spider? You know, how come you got bit? Because of the fall, the curse. You know why there's thorns on the roses? Because of the fall, the curse. You know why you have to weed out your garden? Because of the fall, the curse. You know why we die? Because of the fall, the curse. There's no way to overemphasize the importance of knowing that in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve sinned. And then man became, of course, exceedingly wicked, and his thoughts evil only continually. And then you have the flood. In Genesis chapter 5, God destroyed the world except for Noah and his family. And after that, you have the next major event is the Tower of Babel, which is man's attempt to coalesce himself apart from God and to build a utopia kingdom without God. It's kind of like the United Nations now. There's no new thing under the heaven. But that's in Genesis chapter 11. Then one of the big events of the Bible is number 6, the call of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And here's where God calls one man out of a heathen world and establishes a special chosen people, Israel, with him and the people of the book and people of the faith. And, of course, also fulfilling the prophecy of Genesis 3:15 about the seed that would come from the woman and that would be born, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Then you come up, that leads us into number 7, the patriarchs, which takes you through the 12th chapter of Genesis through the 50th chapter of Genesis. And the patriarchs are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the 12 tribes, or the 12 sons of Israel. Okay? Jacob's name was changed to Israel after his meeting with God there in Genesis. Now, after that, at the end of that time, you have the sojourn in Egypt. And that's when Joseph was already down in Egypt. His brothers go down there. God leaves their father and their brothers down there. And they stay. And they stayed there for 430 years. And that's the sojourn in Egypt. And eventually there rose up a Pharaoh who knew not God. And he enslaved the people of Israel. Now, as a result of that enslavement and they're crying out to God, God, in number 9, Exodus. And you might want to write down beside Exodus, the man by the name of Moses. Moses is one of the most important people in the Bible. I would say second to Jesus Christ, Moses is mentioned. And Moses is constantly referred to as the law and Moses, grace and Jesus Christ. And Moses is very, very important. And you might want to put down there the commandments in Exodus, write down Moses, the commandments, the statutes, the judgments, the precepts. And this is what I'm going to preach on this morning. That's one reason I'm stopping just a little bit here, because what you're talking about here is the first 5 books of the Bible. This man, Moses, wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And within those 5 books of the Bible is the whole foundation of God's plan with man, God's working with man, and by the way, God's instructions for life. No matter what area of life you want to talk about, God gives you the instructions for it in those books. Now, Jesus, when he came, lifted the law of Moses into a spiritual higher plane. Moses gave him the letter of the law, thou shalt not kill. Jesus said, if you hate in your heart, Jesus took it from the act to the motive and the intent and the trouble that's with us, and that's down the heart. That's the beauty of Christianity. Christianity is the only, quote, religion, if you want to call that, in the world that changes a person's heart. And any church, I don't care what its name tag is, if it's not preaching a gospel that does not change people's hearts, is not a biblical gospel church. Because the gospel of Christ will change a man's heart. And so, but nonetheless, you cannot overemphasize the importance of Moses and how God gave the letter of the law through the life of Moses. We'll run on and come back to that a little bit. Now, number 10, we have the conquest period after God had led them out of Egypt, took them through their 40 years of wandering. They came into the land, crossed the Jordan River, and a man by the name of Joshua, which is the Old Testament word for Jesus, leads them into the promised land. And then you have, number 11, the judges stage. And that's after they'd gotten in the land and conquered to a great degree. They became lax. They became disobedient. They became apathetic about the ways of God. And God began to judge them with, watch this now, slavery inside the land. They would be overtaken by certain tribes or groups of people, but watch this, it was within the land. They were still in Israel, but they would come under bondage and stuff. Now, one of the reasons I'm doing this today, I want to talk to you about America. I want to talk to you about how we are to, how, what should be our reaction to what Van said this morning, to all the evil that's in our presence. I mean, listen, you've got to be having your head to sand if you do not see this nation is deteriorating fast. You got to be blind as a mule if you don't see that the judgment of God is upon this land. Now, we are Christians. If you're saved, you're Christian. And the question now is, unless America repents, the judgment's going to continue. And it's going to get massively worse. How do we live in the midst of a nation like that? What's our responsibility? What's our position? What should we do? How should be our attitude? What should be our... How do we handle this? How do we respond to all that? And so they, at this point, what our forefathers understood, that this Bible give them the way of life. And they would go back and study. In fact, the New Testament tells you to read the Old Testament to find out how God deals with nations and with peoples. And then you can get it. That's why they founded this nation upon biblical principles. They did not want the curse. They did not want the bondage. They did not want the poverty even that comes with a national poverty that comes with disobeying God and violating God's principles. Now, so they watched the nation Israel. First of all, the judges stage is they were enslaved in a certain way within their land. That's kind of like America is right now. We're losing freedoms within our land. Now, number 12, you have the United Kingdom stage. Now, you know what this tells me? It gives me hope. There was a revival, eventually. United Kingdom is where all the tribes begin to come together. And you have, that's where David brought them all, brought them all together, got all the tribes together, and they became the greatest nation on the face of the earth. And that literally, folks, the wealth of the world and the brains of the world flowed into that nation. You listen to him. You know something? As long as America honored God, honored Israel, loved this book, upheld righteousness within its Judeo system and its judicial system, educational systems, the brains of the world and flowed into this nation. Did you know that? Poor old Hitler, you know, when he went against the Jews, he just emptied Europe of all their brains. They all come over here. And I'm talking about, and those people who didn't want, those people who came over here, they had a hunger for God. And the Spirit of God was with them. And so they had this United Kingdom. And God blessed them, David, Solomon. I mean, a great, beautiful kingdom. Then, number 13, after Solomon died, because of the sin, the country went into a civil war. It divided. Are you listening? Did you know America's the most divided right now since the Civil War? This nation is tremendously polarized. I'm telling you what, I say this nation is like a stick of dynamite. I think there's a fuse and it's lit. There wouldn't take very much for this nation for things to blow. Everybody is armed to the teeth. Everybody's cautious. Everybody's concerned. They don't know where this thing's headed to. It doesn't look good. This is, and so the divided kingdom, but why was that kingdom divided? Because they began to worship Baal and they abandoned the statutes, the judgments, the commandments of the Lord. Then they went in, number 14, to captivity. They went into captivity. That's the result of a nation who leaves the Word of God. Number 15, there was a return, but the return was never like it was originally. Brother Terry brought the message here one time The young men shouted and the old men cried. The young men were shouting because they thought the temple, rebuilt temple, was glorious. And the old men said, you don't know anything. Did you know what? We might have happy people in America today, but I'd submit to you that the young people of America today don't know the freedoms that we used to know. There was a happy time in the Ozarks when you didn't lock your doors. There was a happy time in the Ozarks when if somebody got pregnant out of wedlock, it was almost a... There was a happy time in the Ozarks when they prayed at the public school over here and when the Bible was read and the flag was saluted. See? Our kids, they're already in one generation, they don't know that freedom, that joy, that, I mean, and so they have that return. Now, at the end of the, and that takes you through the prophets and so forth, and then you have the 400 silent years there involved after the end of the New, Old Testament. Now, number 17, Christ is born. Matthew comes in, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, comes. You have number 18, His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection, and His ascension back to heaven. Now, that brings us into number 19, the church age, and that's where you're at in history right now. You're at number 19. You're in the New Testament church age. That's Revelation chapters 2 and chapters 3. Now, the next order of event on the calendar of God is the church caught out. It's commonly called the rapture. That word's not in the Bible, but the doctrine is. And the church will be caught out, the bride of Christ, the trump of God will sound, the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with Him in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. When that occurs, the next thing happened will be the Daniel's 70th week, or the time of Jacob's trouble. It is specific to the nation of Israel as the great tribulation, or the tribulation of the latter 3.5 years being the great tribulation. At the end of that 7-year period, you have the second coming of Jesus Christ when He comes back to this earth with His saints and with His mighty angels. And He lands on Mount Olives. His feet touch Mount Olives. And that's in Revelation chapter 19. Then number 23, you have the Battle of Armageddon. Number 24, the Judgment of the Nations. And then after that, in verse number 25, you have Satan. It will be bound in 1,000 years. And this earth will experience the millennial reign, or the kingdom age, when Jesus Christ rules and reigns from Jerusalem over this earth for 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, number 27, there will be a final rebellion. You can read about it in Revelation chapter 20. When Satan is loosed out of the bottomless pit, brings again another rebellion, but God puts it down immediately. And then after that is one of the most fearful events that will ever occur in history. And that is in Revelation chapter 20, when the dead lost, all the lost people, are resurrected and brought up to stand before the great white throne judgment. And there they are judged according to their works. They're not saved. Nobody in that judgment goes to heaven. They're all lost, but God brings them and judges them individually as to why they're lost and why they're going to the eternal lake of fire forever and ever. And so you have that great white throne judgment. And then after that, you have the new heaven and the new earth in Revelation 21 and 22. And then eternity and time is no more. And by the way, you can scratch out the word future, because there's no such thing as eternity future. Eternity is just eternity. There's no time in it. And that's hard for us to grasp, but that's a fact. Now, I wrote this up, so I'll admit that the past and the future, number 1 and number 31, should be taken out of there. Below that, you have kind of a timeline that might help you to understand these things. Now, listen, I'm a pastor. My job is to feed the flock of God. And I want you people to know where you're at in the time of what's going on. I want you to know when you're reading your Bible. I want you to understand where you're reading at, what time that's important. Now, I want you to take your Bible to Matthew chapter 5 this morning. Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to look real quick. We've got to run fast and get these passages of Scripture. And now, I'm going to tell you this before I start. I'm going to finish this tonight. We'll not finish it today. But this message, God just burned my heart with it. So here we go. Matthew 5, verse number 17, everybody there. Amen. Jesus said this, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law." Listen to some people preach, you'd think He did. He said Himself, "I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets." Now, what's He talking about there? The law is the Old Testament. The law is specifically Genesis through Deuteronomy. The prophets is like, you know, Isaiah through Malachi. He said, "I didn't come to do away with the Old Testament. I didn't come to do away with that." He said, "Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass." He said, "I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Verse 18, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Verse number 19, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so. Now notice that. He said not only they break them, but they teach people to do it. He said he should be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same should be called the great in the kingdom of heaven. Now let me say something here. Look up here just a second. I hope everybody here knows that I believe in salvation by faith through grace alone, period, plus nothing, minus nothing. It's Christ that saves you. Right? But salvation is not a license to sin, nor to disobey the Word of God. And Jesus clearly teaches us that He did not cancel out the Old Testament. People in the Old Testament were saved the same way you're saved. They believed Jesus would come, and they exercised that faith with works now by bringing the lamb to the temple or the tabernacle, offering that lamb as a picture of Jesus Christ coming in the future. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Noah. By faith, David. By faith. It's all by faith. All right? Everybody gets saved by faith. I don't care what some of these guys say. Okay? It's by faith. Amen? One way to be saved, always will be, always was. When Adam and Eve sinned, what did God do? Clothed them with skin. There was a lamb that was substituted for them as a picture of the Lamb of God that would come. Cain and Abel. Abel brought a lamb. That's what he was taught. And it's that way all the way through the scripture. Now, what I'm saying to you is this. Don't mistake what I'm preaching today as saying, well, Reggie says that you got to keep the law to be saved. That is not true. But let me tell you something. We ought to obey the Bible because we are saved. Yeah. Salvation is not a license to disobey the Word of God. Now, our forefathers did this. They understood what I just got through preaching very, very well. They were legislators. They were judges. They were public officials. And what they did, they took the truths of God's Word and they inculcated it into our judicial system, into our educational system, into every arena of American life. I'm telling you, that's a fact. Anybody says they didn't, they're lying out their teeth. They're just strict, they're bald-faced liar. Now, so, Noah Webster made a statement one time. He said this. He said, jurisprudence, which is the judicial system and the understanding of it and the application of it, is second only importance to a nation to its theology. Now listen to me carefully. He said, the jurisprudence of a nation, its judicial system, its laws and its application and its acceptance of those laws is second only importance to its theology, what it believes doctrinally the Bible teaches. Okay? And he said that the Bible was meant to be expressed through the judicial system. All right. Now, we originally used to have a biblically based judicial system. And what was wrong was said it was wrong because the Bible said it was wrong. What was right was said to be right because the Bible said it was right. Blackstone was the man of whom our forefathers took his books on law, biblical based law, they took and wrote those laws. For a long time, actually up until the Warren Court in the 40s and 50s and 60s, and the Warren Court, up until that time, the Supreme Court still used the Bible as a biblical base for decision making, even when they did precedent ruling. But if the Warren Court was a result of boys who had come up through a law school, now listen to me, who had rejected biblical authority, had received Darwinism, that did away with absolute truths and absolute rights and absolute wrongs. And those are the men who decided that absolute rights and the Bible was no longer an absolute rule. These are the men who decided that, we shouldn't be praying in school. All of a sudden, after 200 years of praying in our schools, reading the Bible in our schools, and using the Bible as a basis of society, all of a sudden that's illegal. It's unconstitutional. All of a sudden, praying in school is wrong. And then here comes the ruling about abortion. So I have to kill the baby now. And it just keeps moving. And what happened was once they disconnected and cut the cable to the Bible, then it became every man doing that which is right in his own eyes. Okay, and that's where we're at in this nation. Now, we've had about 60 years of this. And now we're seeing just all this abominable stuff. What went on over there, but I don't know what happened. Your lady picked up a child and shook it by its ears. You said till she nearly killed it. All right. Now, how's that going to be when it gets to court? Why did that happen in our society? Okay. Now, Jesus says here, He did not come to destroy that law. Now, I want you to go to Psalms 119. Go to Psalms 119. Oh, my goodness, I got to go. Psalms 119, 105. I'll just quote it. You go to Deuteronomy 4, 6. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and we'll get right into this today because this is going to be a little tough. Now, everybody got your seatbelt on today? Y'all ready? You're not at Joel Osteen's. I want to warn you. I'm warning you. You're not at Joel Osteen's this morning, okay? And so I want you to get tough because I'm going to tell you something. I saw something this morning. I saw it not this morning, this week, that upset me bad, that has shook my soul and has caused me to realize we better be standing and I have a solemn responsibility at the church. Deuteronomy, now, that God is giving Moses to the people the statute of judgment came, and he says something about all this that he's given in Deuteronomy 4, 6. Here it is. Keep therefore and do them. What's this? For this, what? The laws of God, the statutes of God, the judgments of God is your what? Is your wisdom and your understanding. Where? Not just in the sight of God and not just good for you, but other nations will see that if you adhere to the word of God and its statutes and commandments, they will see this and they shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. And I want to say something to you. Up until recently, that's what the world has said about America. They've said that about this country. And the reason they were able to say that about America is because they said, man alive, those people are free. There's opportunity. There's people went over there with absolutely nothing. They had opportunity. They were able to work. They were able to own land. They could own a house. They could do things. They could invent things and keep the invention and profit and maybe even get wealthy from inventing something and being creative. You see, it's like Nathan told me this week. He said, Daddy, you know, in all these socialist countries, you invent and create something or whatever, the government just takes it. So why invent anything? Why create anything? Because the government's going to own it. See, and that's why we've had to go. Why is it we have to build walls around our borders from getting in? Why don't they have to build walls for theirs? See, it's a great nation. And in the eyes of the world, we've been it's like unbelievable America. Now, but the word also stands that if you don't do that, that bad things will happen to you. Now, what I want to teach, I want you to go to Leviticus now. Back up and go to Leviticus. I'm going to skip a little bit of stuff here for time. Go to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18. Had a lot of bad tornadoes recently, didn't we? Horrible. I mean, unbelievable. We need to pray for those people. I tell you, folks, it could have been this community. And we need to pray for those people and have compassion and you know, if the Lord puts it where you can and should, do what you can. We've had tremendous hurricanes the last several years, haven't we? How many thinks there's just a little bit of weird going on? A little bit unusual. I don't know. It just seems like things just twisting a little bit. You know what I mean? I don't know. But what's verse 25, Leviticus chapter 18? Leviticus 18, verse 25. Everybody there, once you look at your Bibles now, God's going to tell you something that happens to a nation when it violates His Word. Everybody there say amen. And the land is defiled, therefore do I visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself does what? Vomiteth out what? Did you know God says that a land will vomit out its inhabitants if that land, that nation, defiles itself in disobeying the Word of God? Verse 26, ye shall therefore keep my statutes, my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations. Neither any of your own nation, neither any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done which were before you. Now remember Exodus and then entering into the land? Here's what God's saying. He said, in fact, we're going to read it pretty soon. He's going to tell them, the people of Egypt that you come out of and the people of Canaan where you're going, those nations are abominations. They do abominable practices and I am against those nations. He said, if you ever do that, I'll spew you out of this land. Remember the captivity? God finally, the land spewed them out. It did what He said right here. He said, the land is defiled. And the land spew not you out, verse 28, when you defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. God said, this land has spewed out nations before you ever got here, and it'll spew you out if you defile. All right? And it continues, verse 30, whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off among their people. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance. that you commit not any one of these abominable customs which are committed before you, that you defile not yourselves by the Lord. Turn to chapter 20, verse number 22. Chapter 20, verse number 20. You shall therefore keep all my statutes, all my judgments, and do them, that the land, whether I bring you to dwell therein, spew you not out. How many has got it down the Bible? God's pretty serious. He's telling you that if a group of people, a nation, does not abide by His statutes and judgments, the land itself will spew them out. Now, we've got a movement in America called the Environmentalist Movement. They don't have a clue. That is a satanic imitation of just what I read you. The thing that's going to ruin this nation is not what they call pollution, but it's pollution right in here. There's a lot worse pollution going on inside the hearts of American people than there is outwardly. And I'm against pollution. I don't think you ought to dump your sewage in Bryant Creek or Whetstone Creek. Okay? I think you ought to not throw your trash out on the road. Okay? Alright? I hate that junk, and I'm going to say this, but that's not the thing that will kill this nation, nor is killing this nation. The very people who are the biggest environmentalists, who are really, you know, and by the way, it's all about money, because they've got Congress so hoodwinked now that Congress and the Executive Department just throws billions of dollars to the green programs. And that's the last you ever see of it. Nobody has a clue what happened to it. Now, I don't want to get off on all this thing. Now, let me show you in explicit detail what God says will cause the land to spew its inhabitants out. Go to, back to chapter 18. Chapter 18. Now, I never noticed this before in my life, and I've preached on this before, and I never noticed before in my life, but I'll show you something here. I'm going to point something out to you. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of what? Egypt. Wherein you dwell, you shall not do. So don't do like those people did. And after the doings of the land of what? That's where they were going. Okay? Egypt, where they came from, Canaan, where they were going, said, don't do like, don't live like those people live. Whether I bring you, you shall not do, neither shall you walk in their ordinances. Watch verse 4. You shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Verse 5. You shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Now, the next 12 verses, God's going to talk about what will cause the land to spew it out. You know what it is? Incest. And it's more than that. But here's the weird part. That chapter's got 30 verses in it. The first six was an introduction. The last six or seven are kind of a conclusionary deal about the land will spew you out. 12 of all those verses about one subject, incest. Now, you listen to me real good. This is a preventive preaching. I want you to understand, I'm preaching this so that your family and all of you families and all your homes will not experience the tragedy of this. Are you listening to me? Not up here to beat on anybody, not up here, nothing like that. This, I'm going to tell you, this does not being preached in our churches. This is not being read by the fathers and mothers to their children either. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever read this to your own children? Have you ever said to your own sons and daughters, now, son, I want to tell you something. That's your sister. You're to protect her and watch over her and always protect her. And don't you ever touch her. You need to do that. Okay? Now, let me just tell you something. There's pornography, internet junk, garbage everywhere around us. All right? And what it's doing is it's firing up the base lust of the flesh. All right? And it's also exposing people to stuff they would never have seen before, even thought of, maybe, or known about. But I'm going to tell you something. You see something, you hear something, you get around, and first thing you know, Satan will be taking that. And first, I'm going to tell you something. Apart from the grace of God, you don't know what you'll do. Okay, don't tell me how spiritual you are. Apart from the grace of God, you have no earthly idea how wicked you can possibly be. All right, now, I preach this message more as a pastor to us because, now, watch this. We've been preaching on the tabernacle, right? They came out of Egypt, got up to Sinai. Moses went up the mountain. God gave him the pattern for the tabernacle. And then Moses comes down, gives him the pattern for the tabernacle. And then through the rest of Exodus and Leviticus, he's telling them about the priesthood and how to do the offerings and also all that. He comes up here and gets to this point. You know what he says? Now I'm going to tell you something. I mean, he moves right out of worship into walking with God. And watch this. Now this fits the New Testament. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5, you know what the Bible says? Add to your faith virtue. It's the exact same pattern in the New Testament. God's teaching them how to have faith by offering the lambs, right? Tabernacle, how to worship God, how to approach God, how to worship God. how to be saved by coming through the gate with the Lamb to God, how we can be reconciled to God. After that, he says, now, live clean, moral. Add to your faith, virtue. First thing out of that. I mean, why would God just all of a sudden break into this if it wasn't critical important? You know what I'm telling you? America's got churches on every corner. I mean, America's a, quote, religious nation. But America is a very vile and very immoral nation right now. And I'm going to tell you something. There was a man not too long ago visited this church. And he just came by and visited. He was on the way home from the church. He told me, he said, Reggie, he said, I've had a struggle all my life. He said, I was molested by either his dad or his uncle for several years when he was a boy. It just seems to me like that now I'm just starting to hear this more. You know, I don't even want to think about this junk. I don't even want it crossing my mind. But you know something? I can't help it. It's just seems like it's being bombarded. And what I'm shocked about is how many people have been molested in their own families. And I don't want that happening to you, okay? And if it's happened, you know, let's get up and go and let's get God's to get the blood of Christ passed and let's get on down the road. And you know, and I just want to tell you something. Listen, if you've been molested, one of the biggest things you're going to have trouble with is getting over the bitterness and the hatred. I mean, I'll be honest with you. If somebody ever molested me, I want to kill them. I'd probably spend most of my life thinking about how one day I'm going to put a bullet through his head. That's my flesh, okay? But that's not the answer to it. You're going to have to learn how to forgive. You have to let God rebirth and rebuild your life, okay? But I don't want to dig all that junk up. What I want to do this morning, we got a bunch of young mom and daddies in here, right? We have a slew of young fathers, young mothers with children. And you got your first child and your second child, and first thing you know, four or five kids is here they are, and here we go. You know what? God's telling us how to live. We don't have to live like this world's living. We don't have to live like they live. We can have good, clean, wholesome families where righteousness rules and reigns. Amen? We don't have to have this junk in our homes. And so I'm preaching that for this purpose. All right? So be sure you understand. Let's look at it here. Verse number six. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. God says that somebody's near of kin. Now, wait a minute. Cain married his sister. Yeah, but that was early before the mankind was deteriorated in the blood and sin and affected things. That's way back there. Now God comes to a point and says this. Listen, I don't want you approaching any near of your kin to uncover their nakedness. You know what that means? You do not touch. You do not have nothing to do. You don't mess with anybody near your relation. You listening to me? Number seven, the nakedness of thy father, the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. What happened to Noah's son, Ham? You follow me? He's writing in reference to that type of junk and garbage that was going on before the flood. And why did Ham know? What did Ham do? Hey, Ham had a wife already. Ham took a wife on the ark with him. And after the flood, he pulled some stupid satanic stunt toward his daddy. He learned that garbage on before the flood. That's what came from that wicked generation. He said, the next thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She's thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Can I just throw this at you? I've probably said this in the past, but I don't think you ought to run around the house in your underwear. I don't think you ought to run around the house without being clothed. You daddies, you don't run around the house in your underwear. Me mamas, you don't run around the house in your underwear. You kids, you don't run around. You come out of your bedroom, you have something on. Can I give you some more wise advice? Don't be letting your little boys and little girls be taking baths together. Now, you say, I'm meddling. That's right. I mean to meddle on you this morning. I'm meddling. You don't do that garbage. You retain that holy sanctity that God has ordained. All right? Number eight, nakedness of thy father's wife. That's not uncovered. It is thy father's nakedness. Nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, the daughter of thy mother. You say, well, she's my daddy's son from another marriage. I don't care! God said, don't mess with it. Whether she be born home or abroad, even a nakedness thou shalt not uncover. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, or thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover, for theirs is thine own nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister, thy wife's daughter. She's thy sister, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Hey! How many remember 2 Samuel 13, a young boy by the name of Amnon, who raped his half-sister Tamar, and it caused a bloody murder through that whole family. God's not joking about this stuff. Let me tell you that this stuff has powerful devastational effects to people. Number 12, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She's thy father's near kinsman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister. She's thy mother's near kinsman woman. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach his wife. She is thine aunt. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou shalt not uncover nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of woman or daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness. They are her near kinswoman. It is wickedness. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime. Now that's verse 18. From verse 6 through 18, all God talks about is incestuous relationship. God says don't do it. Don't have it in your home. Okay? I'm just encouraging. I tell you what, some mornings I wake up, some nights I go to bed, I lay my head on my pillow, and I start seeing all these young couples in this church. This church's got an amazing amount of young married couples, young to midlife married couples. Kids sitting all around them. I walk in church and here comes a whole string of them. I think, boy, it is the thrillingest thing in the world to see these kids. Do you know what? I want your kids to grow up in a holy, godly home. And I'm going to tell you, you listen to this preacher, God says, the Word of God says, you don't ever touch your near kin. Everybody with me? All right. Just be good for them. I don't care what the world's doing. I mean, I do care, but they're not going to set the standard for how our homes live. Amen. You don't mess around with that stuff. And I'll tell you what. Anyway, let's go to the next thing. Verse number 19. Thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness, as long as she is put apart for uncleanness. Number 20. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile her. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. I'm going to come back to that at the end of this service. Neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord. I am the Lord. I will submit to you that American people are putting their children, giving their children to Molech God just like they were back in those pagan countries. Verse number 22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. That's sodomites. That's what the world calls gay or homosexual, which is not what you should. Don't call that stuff gay. It's not gay. It's an abomination. It's wicked. And I don't care what this nation says or how these politicians cow down and bow down to them and are bought off by them. I'll tell you, I can't imagine anything more filthy, more vile, more nasty, more perverted. Somebody says, well, Jesus didn't speak against it in the New Testament. Are you kidding? I just read you. He said he didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill it. And he said, anybody teaches you not to, he said, they're in trouble. You know something else Jesus did? He confirmed it. He said, in the beginning, God created them, male and female. He addressed the subject. But he's assuming that you've got enough sense to go back here and read already. He's not going to just verbatim repeat all the whole law. Doth not nature itself ought to teach you different than that. All right? Verse number 23. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down there to his confusion. Let me tell you something. It's in America, whether you want to believe it or not. Bestiality. Sick. 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 I'm going to say to you about Vegas and all that junk. These hell holes. You get deep and dark enough back in these hell holes and bestiality is going on in America. I can say something. I'll tell you something. That's why I don't want no poodle licking on my face. I'm telling you something, buddy. They're unclean animals. You say, what's wrong? There's a place for dogs and cats. I could preach a whole message on cats. Can I tell you something about a cat? God said, first of all, don't eat nothing with a paw on it. He said they're unclean. The stupid things sit around chew on mice all day long, which is one of the most unclean animals in the world. Then you sit around and go, ew, ew, ew. Go to the hospital with a cat bite. It's the worst bite you can possibly have for infection because of all the filth that's in them. But let me give you something further. They're an animal of darkness. You ever watch their eyes? Their eyes got a slit in them, and they're a nocturnal animal. And God says your nocturnal animals are the ones who work in the darkness. Yes, sir. Their eyes will come open at night when it's dark. When the light comes out, they shut it off, just like a lost person who does not want the light coming to them. Shut the slits down. Anyway, get off all that. I like cats. They kill mice. Amen? I'm glad they kill mice. I just, you know. Beasts are beasts and humans are humans is what I'm trying to tell you. All right. Verse number 24, defile you not yourselves, neither these things, for all these nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. Now, what's he saying? All this that I just read to you, God said the nation spewed its people out because of it. So you know what? Let's just straighten up, fly right. Do what God says. Go to chapter 20. Now tonight I'm going to do chapter 19. But we're going to jump it because we're staying on the same subject today. Verse number 1, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying again, thou shalt say to the children of Israel, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, of the strangers, a sojourner in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I will set my face against that man, cut him off from among his people, because he hath given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do any way hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Molech and kill him not, you know what God said? If you don't execute the death penalty on that guy, then I'll set my face against that man and against his family. In other words, if you go around and say, oh, I don't think that, you know, somebody who does that to children. Watch out, watch out, watch out. And cut him off, and all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. And the soul that, watch this. Now here we go. Everybody tuned in now. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits. You don't be messing around with any of this witchcraft junk. You don't play Ouija boards, and you don't play Dungeons and Dragons. You don't mess with warlocks and witches and all that junk. You stay away from fortune tellers, horoscopes. Are you listening? Stay away from it. All right. Somebody tell me, and wizards. You don't read Harry Potter. Amen. There'll not be a Harry Potter book in any family's home in this church. There'll not be one. And God knows if you got it. I'm just telling you, if you got it, when you get home today, you get it out, you take it to the kitchen table, tell your family you've sinned, y'all ask God to forgive you, burn it. Yeah. Or wet it down real good so nobody else can ever get any good out of it, throw it in the trash and so nobody else can pick it up. Yeah. To go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off among his people. Number 7, sanctify yourselves there. That means separate yourself. Separate yourself unto God and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Verse 8, ye shall keep my statutes and do them, I am the Lord which sanctify you. Verse 9, for now here we go, watch this. Everyone that curseth his father, his mother, shall surely be put to death. Now God, that's a little bit extreme, isn't it? You know what? You listen to me. There's a lot of boys, a lot of girls in trouble today, big, big trouble in their life. Their whole life's been run. Because this nation did not punish rebellion in its early stages. And they saw other kids they thought got by with it. I can do it too. But if they'd have seen the punishment hit them, you see, I want to tell you something. Societies and cultures that deal with stuff when it's little and deal with it like the Bible says to deal with it, they don't have much of it. And you think that it's cruel, but I'm going to tell you something. You know what's cruel? It's not obeying the Word of God. And causing our young people to think that they can do all these things and it won't cost them. That they can get by with it. I wonder how many kids we'd have cussing their mom and dad in the country. You see what I'm saying? It would save thousands and thousands and thousands of children. See, we don't think. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. You say, well, that's law. You're preaching law. Oh, am I? Well, I want to tell you what. You know what I know? I know what Jesus wrote in the sand. He wrote. Well, I'll show you what he wrote in the sand. Verse number 10. The man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. That's what Jesus wrote in the sand. He wrote down, Leviticus 20. That's why they started walking off. He said, you got the adulteress. Where's the adulterer? The law said both the adulterer and the adulteress was to be stoned to death. And you just got one of them here. And don't tell me he's so fast he got away from you. I didn't hear about nobody running down naked down through streets. What Jesus did expose it. You know what he told the woman? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and do it again. And then ask God to forgive you. And do it again and ask God to forgive you. And do it again and ask God to forgive you. To go and sin no more. I know this ain't very popular preaching, but I'll tell you something. Whether you want to believe this or not, this is why in America, I know we've always had adultery, David and Bathsheba. I know you're going to have it. But hey, wouldn't it be nice to live in a country in an area where you didn't have much of it?
verse number 11, and the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered their father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. If a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion, their blood shall be upon them. Verse 13, if a man lie with mankind, as he lie with womankind, both of them have committed abomination, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. If a man take a wife and her mother, and it is wickedness, they shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. And if a man lie with the beast, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach the beast, they lie down, thou shalt kill the woman, the beast, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. And it continues on with these statutes and these judgments. What time is it? Huh? 5 to 12. Here's what I want to do. You read the part about Molech passing seed through the fire. I'm not sure how many Bible talks. He said, if you do these abominations, the land will spew you out. Recently, there's a doctor. What's his name in Pennsylvania that was charged with killing a woman through an abortion? Gazelle? Or what's, remember what his name is? How many have seen on the national news media any of the pictures? Now, I'm not talking about publications or pro-life media. I'm talking about how many have seen the pictures that's being brought in the court case now of the babies that he aborted. Anybody in here? Raise your hand if you have. You know, I want to tell you, if there's anybody in the United States that probably would have hunted up and looked for the pictures of the babies that's being used in the witness in court right now and hunted up, if you can find them, it would be people like you. Because, you know, you're basically, by and large, we're against it, and we would, you know, we'd kind of... I want to tell you what's happening. They're gathering the evidence together right now against this doctor. He's an abortion doctor in Pennsylvania. And they're getting together all the evidence of it, and I'm honest with you, Joel's not here. I almost called Joel this week and downloaded. I found him. As a man wrote an article this week on. I read a deal called Real Clear Politics, and it's just brief articles on political subjects. And I usually hit it in the mornings. And I saw this deal and said that this doctor, and I can't pronounce his name, said he's the canary in the mine shaft. And I thought, what's that? Whoa, what that? And I clicked it. And on this man's article, he had the pictures of some of the babies that's going to be, pictures of babies that's going to be brought into the courtroom now as evidence that this man is a rank, filthy murderer. And when you did the article, it had a little blue deal where you click here to see the pictures. When that picture come up, I'm going to tell you something. I'm kind of a hard, old, callous guy. Okay? I jolted in my seat. And what I'm telling you is that listen to me. The god Moloch in Scripture was a big brass carved out god, and it had a contraption. It had a deal like this, okay? And somehow or another his arms came out like this, and then this deal came down and it done it, and then it took it inside, and then it took the baby inside. Now what people were doing, now literally what people were doing, and the reason God spewed the people out of the land was all this. See, they were in. You know what the connection here is? All they were interested in was physical lust, pleasure. Yeah. But God says something. There can be babies come along through physical pleasure. And these people were saying, we want the pleasure, but not the responsibility of children. Follow me? And so that. Their inner wickedness led them to become involved in this Baalistic worship system, because that's where it always leads, is the destruction of babies. Read your Bible. I mean, Satan's a baby killer and a baby hater. And so the nation of Israel people, God warned them, don't do this, I'll throw you out of the land. And they would take their babies, newborn babies, and they would take them to this brass, to this Baal temple, and they had this big old brass god Moloch. And they would take it to the priest, hand this new baby to the priest. The priest would take the baby by the heels. And that's why I was really interested in what you said this morning, because I saw Bob do this here, and I wondered what went on. Are you listening to me? They'd take this baby and they would by the heels, and they throw this baby into this basically the belly of the Baal god. At certain worship systems that they had, they built fires and cause flames, and it's so hot that the blood would literally, as the baby screamed and wailed, the blood and the body parts would drop through these arms because of the intense heat. Because when the flesh hit it, it would just melt it down through it. And it would, it had some kind of spring or something doing it. And it would consume these new babies. And these people began to believe that they were redeemed. Now listen, they were redeemed by offering their own children to the god Baal, Moloch. And I'm telling you, when I saw the picture of what this doctor's been doing, it's just like the Holy Ghost just went, Reggie, you know this kind of, but you don't really understand it. This nation has been sacrificing its children to Moloch for probably about 60 years now. We've got somewhere between 50 and 60 million babies that has been aborted in this country. And you know, when you just hear about it a little bit, you don't think a whole lot about it. But when I saw this picture, I like to fell out of my chair, Kenny. They have somebody in that clinic was taking pictures and they didn't know it. Some of the people that's witnessing now against this doctor said that he would laugh and say, man, this thing's nearly big enough to walk me to the post office. Worse yet, some girls, just because you're a woman does not mean you're not a sinner or have the capability of being as vile as any person. Some of the nurses made statements such as this. They would play with the baby while it's alive and then kill it. The first picture I looked at, the baby had been decapitated, its head torn off of its body. The right arm was torn off of its body, and the nurse was holding its right arm in a gloved hand. That baby had as much hair on its head as about any baby I've ever seen in my life. It had a whole hair. And it wouldn't make any difference if it was bald as an eagle. But we're talking about a full-grown baby here. And I said to myself, why is it that the American press will not publish these pictures? It ought to be published in every major newspaper. Why doesn't Fox News put these pictures on? Folks, you know what? America would literally scream and immediately cry for the stop of abortions in this country if the truth was really known. And I had a little thought come to me. Now, I want to illustrate something to you. Now, the reason I want to do this is because this is just from down in the kitchen. But they have an instrument that looks a lot like this. Babies come in normally head first. The first thing they do is they'll take an instrument, and I'll get this here, but I'll just use the scissors as an illustration. Because I'm going to tell you this, you know what I meant in mind? Ezekiel says, I sought for a man to stand in the gap. We better be a bunch of people standing in the gap for these children. God says, if you knew that these innocents were being slain and you didn't speak out against it, I'll hold their blood accountable to you. And I'm wondering where we are as American people. So what I've got in mind is, if I can get these pictures of buying a, I'm going to see if the Springfield News Leader will publish them. Will you back me? Yeah. We'll put them in there. You know what they'll do? They'll take these scissors and they'll take them right here at the back of the skull, and they'll not sit with an instrument, and they'll run this right up at the back of that baby's head. They'll snip the spinal column. This one particular baby, folks, they'd had such trouble getting out, they tore his head off. The head was laying on right here, body was laying angleways like this, and then this arm, little bitty right arm, laying there and just been torn off. Next picture was a picture of a dead baby. I'm telling you, I could not believe my eyes. But they'll take these things and they'll crush these babies' heads. They'll just crush them. Then they take a vacuum cleaner. They take a vacuum cleaner and they'll suck the brains right through here out of that baby so they can crush the skull and get it out. And I'm doing this because I want this church. I don't know. I can't be responsible for what's going on anywhere else. But I tell you, God said, Reggie, you're in a nation that is defiled. You're in a nation that's killing. those who are the most innocent among us, who ought to be in the most protected place. I was preaching on this thing of incest a while ago. Let me tell you something, folks. Listen, as a father, I ought to die protecting my daughters. My sons. That my daughters ought never have to worry about daddy. Amen? And your daughter ought never have to worry about daddy doing something stupid to them. But my land of living. I mean, it's just like this, and I don't want to, but I'm telling you something. I don't care what I got to do. I want to leave an impression in your mind. Here's a baby. I'm guarantee you that thing had blood all over it. And they had literally, you could tell they had punched it back of its neck. That didn't work, so finally, in the process, they just tore its head off. And here's the head laying beside it like that, and then they tore the right arm off. Can I tell you something? When I thought about doing this at church, I thought, Susanna ain't got a doll in the house. She'd let me do that too. I'll be honest with you. I was like, Reggie, that's bad. Kenny, I didn't want to do this to a doll. I didn't want to do that to a doll that don't have no life in it. Even I had to kind of push myself to do this to illustrate the awfulness of what we're doing in this country. We are giving our children to Molech. Now, some of you are not going to like this. But I lost the popularity contest years ago. I'm not knocking individuals. I'm knocking a system. But we are putting our children in an educational system to the modern day temple of Baal that places no value on the lives of children, that is teaching our daughters that it's okay to have an abortion. That's teaching our children. There's a lawsuit now in Oregon up there. 10 and 12 year old kids, textbooks about all kinds of filthy stuff, all this stuff. You know, like teaching kids, this stuff's all right. What we've got is a modern day temple of Baal. And you know what? Molech is inside the abortion clinics. We're telling our girls and our boys it's all right to go out and fornicate and be promiscuous and filthy and vile. It's all right. Everybody does it. Nothing wrong with it. God don't hold nobody accountable. Go do what you want to do. I'm going to tell you something. God said, and I'm afraid. Now, you listen to me. I'm afraid that the judgment of God is going to fall upon this nation. And I'm not sure there's anything we can do about it. The only thing we could possibly do is repent as a nation. And beg God nationally to forgive us of our sins. And I'm going to tell you what that's going to take. It's going to take a president who's going to have the guts to get up and say, listen, we have sinned against God. And whether you like it or don't like it, I'm sorry. We have. And I want this. I'm asking pastors across every pastor in every church across this land to have a day of repentance and prayer and asking God to forgive us of our wickedness. And a president who will get it. You know, you want to do a slideshow, boys? How about doing this on the floor of the Senate? How about putting this on the floor of the legislature? Show those babies being torn by shreds by these wicked animals. And I'm just saying this to you that we're no better. We're in trouble. And the land's going to spew us out. Now you say, Reggie, I don't think that way, and I don't believe that way. What should we do? All I can tell you is let's stand wherever we can. Let's first of all keep our homes and our families right, okay? Let's do right. I'm telling you, kids, you listen to me. All of you kids, you listen to me. You grow up, you get married, you have a family, or you don't. You don't practice any of these abominations.
Amen.
You do right.
Amen.
You live for God. You obey that book. Life is important. Life has sacredness to it. And God says, here's what's happening. You see, once we've opened up the moral cesspool and said everything's all right, we've degraded humanity. And that's why eventually you can say, kill the babies, it doesn't matter. I'm telling you something. I'll never be the same the rest of my life after having seen the pictures of that baby. That's a doll. And do you know what I saw? I saw somebody back here when I don't know who it was now. When I pulled this doll out, I saw some lady go and knew what's coming. You're just like me. You did that just seeing a doll be butchered up. If I, you know, I really thought about taking a hacksaw and a saw. And I thought about just butchering this doll up. Just, you know, I don't do it. I thought, Reggie, where have we gotten to in this nation that our laws, that our legislators, that our judges, listen to me, that our preachers, that our denominations, that our parents, that our people would do that? I submit to you, we are heathen, pagan, filthy, vile, defiled nation of whom the judgment of God is coming. And I want to tell you something. I want God to know something today, that in this church and in these homes and in these families, watch me, no baby ever conceived in this church would ever have to worry about that happening to him. Wouldn't that be good? That no boy or no girl in this church would ever have to worry about daddy or mama doing something to him immoral. That brothers would protect sisters and sisters would protect brothers. I'm done. I hope this morning that, you know, I know I'm preaching to the choir. I understand that, okay? I just want us to sharpen up on our song. Okay? If you're not careful, these kids grow up and they hear abortion's wrong. They hear abortion's wrong. They hear abortion's wrong. They just don't. I mean, I'm telling you, as much as I knew it's wrong, when I saw those pictures, I like to fell over. I've seen some pictures in the past, but somehow or another, these here got me. I couldn't believe it. Well, God took Moses and those people out of there. He said, I'm going to teach you how to worship, how to be accepted to God. And then he says, I want you to have virtue. Okay? Let's don't give our children this world. Let's don't give our children this world. Let's don't give them to Moloch. Okay? Let's stand together. I better shut up.